and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Of course, I'm not Pastor Al, but he will be with us real shortly here. He is out at the Summit County Fair, I believe it's Summit County Fair, and he'll be joining us just a moment. But we want to welcome you to the show today, and we're looking forward to hearing what's going on out at the fair. So why don't we go ahead and bring up Pastor Al, and Pastor Al, you there?
Well, good afternoon, and thank you for volunteering to stay inside of the air-conditioned studio today.
Hey, I'm suffering for you, brother. I'm with you, all right, man?
I'll send you a blanket. I'm out here
it's cold.
The humidity and all that fun stuff. I don't know that we're at 90 degrees yet, but we're supposed to be. But, welcome. Thank you for allowing me to be on my own program.
Yeah, you know, it was tough because we weren't sure if we were going to bring you up or not. But,
I kind of figured that. So,
Is it raining over by you? It started raining here.
No. It's not raining here. It's overcast. We are down in Talmadge, Ohio, just the east of Akron.
Okay. So
a little more towards south end of southern Summit County.
Yeah.
But, we had a storm and a half on Wednesday, I believe it was, when the rain just come down by the bucket full.
Sure.
And we had to close the doors on the commercial strip that we're in. And we still had water flowing through. Somebody said, hey, we could make a movie out of this called A River Runs Through It. Book, but it just come down by the bucket full. And then after about a half hour of hard rain, let up, and the rest of the night was fine.
Oh, that's
so
good.
If you're out and about and looking at coming to the Summit County Fair, just keep an eye on the weather, prepare for warm weather, and maybe bring an umbrella. Somebody had one the other day, said, I brought this for the sun, and it was a smart idea. And we have a good turnout here. I think we're starting to get to some of the pre-COVID levels of vendors and turnout and things of that nature. So,
right.
And it's always kind of fun to be out where people are walking about and get a chance to share the gospel and point people to the Bible to consider things. And we have actually a new thing at our booth. And of course, let me mention our booth for the Richfield Bible Baptist Church is just inside the main gate. If you come in the main gate, we're on the right. There's two strip vendor spaces, strip buildings, and they're one on either side. We're on the right. There's the Republican Party of Summit County.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's a roofer, and then there's us. So,
yeah. So
we're right up toward the front. And if you come on out, stop by and see us. I'll be out here until sometime around 5:30, maybe something like that. I have to head back for our Friday night Bible study tonight. But then I'll be out here all day Saturday. People from our church will be out here until at least 11 o'clock tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll be here Saturday. I should be here from probably about 11 to midnight. And then on Sunday, I will not be here myself, but people from our church will be here. I'll be at our church for our services, but some other people will be here for the duration of the fair on Sunday. So, but I was going to say, we have a new display this year.
Okay.
And I don't think we can get a license on this and do something with it, but if anybody wants to do it, can do it. We had a lady that gave us this wooden box that was on a post, and she said, can you use this for anything at the church booth at the fair? And we were looking at it, and about that time, my wife was hearing something on the radio or something about banned book readings.
Mm.
And we had this idea. She came up with this idea. Why not put a Bible inside of it because it has a little lid on it?
There you go.
And call it the banned book or something along those lines. So we worked with it, and we put a cover on the front that says, "Danger, do not open. Contains the most banned book in the world.
Yeah.
And then we put a bunch of warning signs on it and some caution signs and things like that on it. And using, you know, reverse psychology. Do not open.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That's good.
I see some people come up to it cautiously. They think something's going to jump out. And there was a couple of Muslim girls that were standing there, and they're kind of looking at it.
Yeah.
And finally, one of them reached over kind of sideways, timidly, leaning back, and eased it open. And we have a little switch on there so that the light comes on inside so you can clearly see.
Mm-hmm.
It's the King James Bible sitting down on the inside.
Wow.
There.
And
when they opened it up, she saw that Bible. She closed the lid, went back over to the other girls, and they started mumbling something, pointing at the box. And then I had two girls just a little bit ago today.
Mm-hmm.
They were kind of dressed in the goth style, you know, with all the black makeup and and different things. And they're coming by, and they looked at it. They looked at it a couple times, and finally they peeked inside of it, and they almost seemed disappointed that it was a Bible. And I told them, I said, hey, this is absolutely true.
Yeah.
More people have been killed, imprisoned, beaten, and fined for that book than any other book in history.
That's right.
And still today, it's happening.
Yeah.
And
Wow.
So we got a little conversation going with that. We even stuck a sticker on the inside that says, I read banned books. So,
but, well, that's good. Though. That's a great idea. I'm writing it down. Yeah. You know, we got our festival coming up here in a couple months. That's not a bad idea.
I'll send you a picture.
You
need a box it's simple. I know finding a King James Bible might be difficult for you, but I'll send you one if you need. No, for anybody that's listening, Brother Lutz is a strong King James guy. We kid back and forth.
Yeah,
Bruce Musselman taught both of us real well on that issue.
Yeah.
For those that remember Bruce Musselman.
Yeah, be careful, brother. We might lose the connection, so be careful. So, you know, this the FAIR ministry, I was thinking about, you know, every time this comes around every year, in all of us, this really isn't anything new. I mean, you think about Paul in Athens. You know, in that particular case, right. Obviously it's a little different, but they're arguing the things of the day and they're trying to get their points across. And yet, mm-hmm. you know, he found himself, I love what it says. He was stirred in him, right? His spirit was stirred in him when he saw what was really going on. And that's really why you're there, right? I mean, it's really, to get the gospel out, but boy, you see a lot of a great need out there when you're there, don't you? Oh.
Absolutely. And really the people are here kind of the same reason they were there in Athens. They went to Mars Hill, the Bible says, because they wanted to learn or see some new thing.
Yeah.
Something novel, something different.
That's
and
right.
That's why a lot of people come out to the fair. And it's kind of nice. We've expanded the churches that are here at the fair. There used to be us at this corner, one end of the fairgrounds,
mm-hmm.
and the Hametown Road Baptist Church were some friends of ours, my daughter and her family go, is at the other end of the fair, the other corner of the fairgrounds. But now we've got some other churches, one other Baptist church and two Baptistic churches that are essentially Baptist. One's a Southern Baptist, but they don't have Baptist in the name.
Yeah.
And the other is essentially an independent Baptist without Baptist in the name. So I guess I could technically say there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Baptist churches out here now. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of interesting, but gives us a chance to talk to a lot of people. We have our mainstay that we have every year, the three things God cannot do display. And of course that gets a lot of attention. And then
sure.
we have Bible tracts that are there. In fact, on Tuesday morning when I was still setting up, I had my back to the thing. I had just opened the doors and moved the table out a little bit where it's more visible. And I was getting something and I hear somebody behind me go, why do you have hate speech on your table? Hate speech. And I instantly knew what she was talking about. Because we have, people are probably familiar with the coexist symbol or sign or logo with the religious symbols.
Yeah.
Well, this one track has contradict. the religious symbols, and basically saying what Jesus said in John chapter 12, I believe it is, where he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me."
Yeah.
He said, "This is hate speech. I'm offended. This offends me.
Wow.
Why are you being judgmental and telling people they're wrong?" I said, "Well, I'm sorry, what's hate speech?" And she picked it up and showed it to me. I knew that's when she was going to pick up.
Yeah.
And she said, this is implying that if people don't believe like you do, that they're going to suffer for all eternity.
Mm.
This offends me. I looked at her and I said, "You know, I'm quite offended right now. You're really offending me."
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
You just came up here and told me that I'm not allowed to believe what I believe and that what I believe is wrong.
Yeah.
And you're calling me a hateful bigot.
Yeah.
I'm offended. And she kind of stepped back.
Hallelujah. That's good. Oh, my goodness.
She regained her senses because I wasn't supposed to, you know, to tell her I was offended. Because after all, people who engage in that kind of talk, you know, never think that they're being offensive, never think that they're being judgmental, never think that they're telling people they can't believe what they want to believe.
Yeah.
So, but I did learn something. I need to pass this on to you. Homosexuality was added to the King James Bible in 1946. Did you know that?
You know, I did not know that. Really?
I didn't either.
That's a new one. I've never heard that one before.
Yeah. I said, "No, it wasn't." And she said, "Oh, yes, it was." And I said, "In 1945, I said the wrong number." She goes, "No, 1946, corrected me.
Uh-huh.
And I said, "No, I don't think so. I have a King James Bible." "Well, it was changed in 1946. I said, "No, it wasn't." And I've been studying Bible since I've been able to read. And I said, "Well, I'm sure with your vast knowledge and experience, you're aware of the Alexandrian stream of Bible manuscripts and the Antiochian stream of manuscripts."
Yeah.
and how they come down to us today. And she kind of looked puzzled and said, "Well, yeah, I've heard of that." And then quickly changed the subject.
1946, course, huh? You know, wow.
Yeah, and of course, you know, and many of our listeners know, the Alexandrian text is the source of the modern version.
Yeah.
And it goes back to Alexandria, Egypt, where Origen rejected the deity of Christ, rejected the virgin birth, rejected the blood atonement, and many other things.
Oh, yeah.
And so he altered the Bibles that they copied out and left things out of them, resulting in the corrupt Sinaiticus and Vaticanus that underlie the versions, the modern versions today. And the King James, of course, comes from the Antiochian manuscript stream that comes from Antioch, Syria, where Paul went out on his missionary journeys, where they were first called Christians.
Yeah.
And it preserves the Word of God.
Yeah.
And so the King James is the version today that we have, that the modern, or, well, I'll say modern version, because it is a modern version.
Yeah.
It's the King James version. I can read it. We have kids in grade school, they can read it without any problem.
That's right.
And
yeah.
And it's the Word of God in the English language for us today, preserved without error.
Yeah.
And but she didn't believe that. In fact, she assured me that Jesus never said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Some man added that over 100 years after his death.
Mm. Well,
so,
if that's not validation of the times in we're living, you know, in the times of deception upon people. I was saying this earlier in my show, you know, blindness is actually, I think it's the next step past ignorance, right? So once ignorance happens, blindness is actually worse. Because once God blinds you, you're done. You're not seeing anything till he reveals that again. And for many, once they have the light exposed to them and reject it, you know, he gives them up and gives them over. And you know, it's and then they hold the truth and unrighteousness, because like she thinks she's righteous, she thinks she's got the truth, and the whole time she's, you know, has a reprobate mind about it, and she's gone.
Oh yeah,
you know, it's,
and absolutely no comprehension of how judgmental she was.
Yeah,
absolutely no comprehension, and but we've had some really good conversations with people today.
Good.
Oh, I had to share one last thing with her.
Yeah.
She said that the main things that we're supposed to love one another, And then she threw a stack of my tracks across the table and went off. And I called after she, you know, after she said, I said, please don't mess up our things. But, oh, I do feel the love. Thank you.
You know, those environments, I love the fellow or the Lakewood Community Festival. I love it because one, people are actually out. So you're there, you get a chance. You know, we do a lot of door knocking and, you know, we don't talk to most people because most people don't come to the door. I said they hide behind the Ring doorbells now, but they were hiding before. But now they're out and they're open.
They come up to you.
Oh, yeah. And then, depending on, like, our situation up in Lakewood, I mean, we're pretty provocative compared to the other churches that are in Lakewood. And so, I mean, the American flag banner that we have, man, I really like that band book. I think we're going to do something with that for September because that'll provoke a lot of conversations. But that's what it's all about. It's and we got to know how to use the sword, right? And that's the whole key.
Exactly.
These are not man's arguments we're using. These are scriptural arguments that we're using. That's what's going to make the difference.
And the key is we need to be training our people in our churches to, one, know what they believe.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, churches are filled with people who really don't know what they believe. This is just where I go to church.
Yeah.
But we want our people to know what they believe and then to take it a step further, know why they believe it.
Yeah.
Because if you know what you believe and why you believe it, you can stand in front of somebody like that. You don't have to read the latest books on apologetics and
That's
things
right.
like that. Know what you believe and why you believe it. God will help you, make a defense of your faith if you're willing to allow him to guide you.
And this is really what we see, right, in any, especially politically, there's so much regurgitation, like this indoctrination, just it's regurgitated. But as soon as you say, well, why do you say that? They don't know how to answer it. And a lot of our people are that way too. There's just they're handed a flyer with bullet points. And you just stick with the bullet points, and then. But if you can't have a logical conversation, so most people turn to use emotions, and a lot of people will escalate their voice, escalate their posture because they don't have a defense. They don't have to. It's like you look at Stephen, you look at Jesus, you look at Paul. Man, they weren't ruffled at all because they were so confident in the truth of, like you said, what they believed, why they believed it. That they didn't allow the confrontation to disrupt them.
Right.
You
know? Well, it's like the old adage, weak point, raise your voice. But
yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. It's who can scream the loudest, And for some reason we think whoever, screams the loudest wins the argument. And that's just not true. That's more tyrannical, if anything, right?
Right.
So
I'll share something that's encouraging. I've seen a number of young people. In fact, I was talking with the pastor of one of the other churches this morning when it was still kind of quiet, and about how we're starting to see some of the younger teens, not the older teens, but the younger teens, like the 12, getting at 13, 14 years old, and even some of the preteens, like around 11, 10, 11, 12, who really seem to be wanting to know more than just the kids who are only, 5-10 years older than them.
Yeah.
And that's, to me, is an encouraging thing. Had several young people, like, early teens, like that age and younger, come up and ask. I had one boy come up. He must have been all of 11 or 12.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, "Do you know what apologetics are?" And I said, "Yes, in fact, I do."
Wow.
And I mentioned a few things, and he was well aware. He said, "I took a course in apologetics."
Oh my word! 11, 12 years old,
Christian school or something like that.
Wow.
And he took some kind of course, and I said, "Well, have you read?" And I named off a book on apologetics. I said, "I'd recommend that to you." And he said, "I've already read it."
Wow!
And I'm thinking, there is a little bit of hope there if the Lord tarries. We've got some sharp young people coming up here. If we're willing to let them ask questions, if we're willing to spend some time with them and guide them and teach them. Because think about it, back in Paul's day, back in Jesus' day, what was a disciple? they followed the teacher around and they learned from him.
And
I know we're coming up on the end of the program. I did want to share a couple other things too before we run out of time here. One of the things that we're also doing this year is we were able to get a little extra space, and we put out a display encouraging people to vote yes on issue one.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I have been talking about this. We did a program on this recently.
Yeah.
We're getting a lot of conversation with that. And what's interesting, Ohio Northern University just released the latest poll.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, and this is where people need to pray. God's people need to pray. And I want to squeeze in a couple statistics here to bring the point home why, as a pastor, I'm pushing a yes vote on issue one.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, issue one support is 42%. No, the opponents is 41%, and neutral is 17%.
Wow.
It's neck and neck.
Yeah.
And here's something that makes it even more a thing we need to pray about. 53% of the Republicans actively support it.
Yeah.
That means nearly half of them either don't know or are against it.
Yeah.
56% of the Democrats actively oppose it, which means nearly half of them, again, are either, don't know what or might even support it. But what's important here, they also did a survey on the radical abortion amendment that's due to be on the ballot in November, because it came out earlier this week that they got sufficient signatures.
Right.
54% of the people surveyed support an abortion amendment to the Ohio Constitution.
Yeah, that's horrible.
If that right there doesn't tell you, you need to vote for issue one.
Yeah.
Issue one will raise the bar to 60%.
Yeah.
Right now, 54% of the Ohio electorate is poised to vote abortion, and they think it's just a basic, we're not going to ban abortion in Ohio. They don't realize it's one of the most radical abortion amendments in the country. Ohio will become one of the most radical abortion states. Abortion on demand, no parental involvement, no state regulation up until the moment of birth.
Yeah.
It's horrendous.
Yep.
And 54% are indicating that they would vote for that amendment.
And that's,
they don't even know what it is.
Yeah, that's horrible. I mean, that alone, that statistic alone is just ridiculous. How do we call ourselves a red state when 54, and I know where they're getting their statistics from. They're going to the population cities, but how do we say, we got a super majority in red? That's just all nonsense. I mean, I heard that. I heard it was 56%. So 54 is 56, whatever it was. The reality is that's
pull from.
Yeah. I heard one of the guys, I was at one of these meetings, and he said, if they get their 60%, it doesn't matter anyway. If there's 60% of Ohioans that want it, we're done anyway. It's horrible. So we only got a couple minutes left here, brother. So anything else you want to leave us with?
Well, just as I said, a lot of people are undecided that come by the booth on the issue. They want to know what it's for and why we're changing it, why we're doing it in August. There's a lot of good materials online. They can go to our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And they can go back. What was the date that you and I did that program? Was that the? I've had several programs. Actually, if they go to livewithpastoral.com, there's a post right there in the center that lists all those programs, three programs that I did.
Yeah.
You and I did a combined program on your program. And then, of course, Mike Gamadakis, the president of Ohio Right to Life, and Chris Long, president of Ohio Christian Alliance. So there's three half-hour programs dealing with this issue, and I think between the three of them, it ought to help people understand. So, but again,
I feel bad. I can't remember. I'm trying to rack my brain. Like, when was that? It might have been 2 weeks ago. I can't remember exactly.
Yeah.
So,
but again, thank you so much. We'll be back in the saddle next week.
Well, thanks for Pastor Al. Stay cool out there. God bless.
All right, thank you.
Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Read articles on a variety of topics by Pastor Al at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to join him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and then every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 10 to midnight. And again, next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.